Community Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, the Mercy Sisters, Social Justice, or the Catholic Church. Today, my visitor is Jenny Bell. Jenny, a warm welcome to our radio program.
Thank you.
Jenny is a trained teacher and has worked in both primary and secondary schools, in both mainstream and special education settings. She is a trained resource teacher of literacy and a trained and experienced resource teacher of learning and behavior. She also trained as a facilitator in the Friends program. Jenny is the founder of Jenny Bell Oranga. Jenny, these are quite a few terms and names that might not be familiar to some of our listeners. Can you tell us more about first your experience as a resource teacher of learning and behavior?
Yeah, commonly called RTLB. We've been around for a long time, an initiative from our Ministry of Education. And what we do is we work with students and schools and the teachers to upskill them with possible learning difficulties children might be experiencing and or behavioural difficulties. So we'll get a referral in and we would then go and meet with the teacher, meet with the parents, talk with the children and look at getting any other services that we might need together and coming up with a plan to help that child. So it's school-based, but we would also sort of connect families with other agencies if needed as well.
So the referral comes from the parents or from the teachers?
From the teachers. The school would put in the referral to us. And then, you know, we would pick it up and go through it. And if it met our criteria, then it would be assigned to an RTLB and we would start the process from there.
RTLB, what is it?
A resource teacher of learning and behaviour. You can see I've been in the business for a long time and I keep forgetting. Yes, so resource teacher learning behaviour, but RTLB for short.
Okay. And then you worked as a facilitator in the Friends program. What kind of program is the Friends program?
The Friends program is a social and emotional resiliency building program, I suppose. And probably what got me started was when I was a resource teacher of learning and behaviour and I was picking up more and more children who had anxiety. And I remember one girl in particular who was a 10-year-old girl, loving family, gifted and talented, and had friends, liked to teach her, but was having suicidal ideation. And she came on to
our
suicidal ideation.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, oh, we're not trained to do this. We're more learning behaviour. This is more mental health. But her parents didn't want to go down that line because they were worried at that stage about stigmatisation. So she did come onto my role and I went looking for evidence-based programs that I knew would make a difference. And I eventually came across the Friends programs. And that's what started me on this journey.
So Friends, is that Friends in the sense of to be a friend to the person who needs help?
That's a small part of it. It is. Dr. Paula Barrett, who's the developer of the programs, she uses the Friends as an acronym. So, for instance, F stands for we talk about feelings, R is talking about relaxation, I is the I can do it, and so it goes on. So we do look at social interactions because that's huge with our children. So that can also be, when they feel that friends don't like them anymore or bullying or making friends. But beyond that, we're starting to look at their emotional resiliency. So it's not just anxiety. It could be stress. It could be anger. Any sorts of emotions that might be causing them distress. And we show them how to sort of manage those emotions.
For those of you who have just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tengaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Jenny Bell. Jenny is a trained resource teacher of learning and behavior and has just explained a bit the Friends program. Jenny, as I mentioned earlier, you are the founder of Jenny Bell Oranga. What is that organization about?
How I see our organisation is empowering people, giving them tools and strategies that they need to be resilient for life. And why I formed that was I was sort of becoming a wee bit frustrated in my role as a resource teacher learning behaviour RTLB, because after learning this knowledge about the Friends programs, I could only affect those children who were placed onto my role, and I knew we had a much bigger need out there. So it was sort of like a step out in faith, and I set up Jenny Bell Ōranga. I'm probably about the only licensed entity in New Zealand currently who has a license from Dr. Paula Barrett, the founder of the programs, to train people. So I train teachers, social workers, psychologists, lots of people how to run these programs in their own centre, as well as I use them in my own private practice. And we also go into schools if we're asked to and run these programs as well. So I see it really as... The three main bases behind Jenny Bell Ōranga is, one is whakapiri. I think relationships are the most important key. So for me, it doesn't matter, you know, how much knowledge I might know about these things. If I can't connect with that person, if that person can't connect with me, you know, it's probably not going to work. So I think building those relationships is the most important. The second component of Jenny Bell Ōranga is when we talk about whakapiri, marama, like enlightenment, and for me that's passing on those social and emotional resilience skills so that they can empower themselves. And the last one being whakamana, which is empowerment, where they can, you know, empower themselves to be the best version of they can.
So when you're talking about empowerment, are you only thinking of those who might be referred or who already struggle in some way, or also, are you also building up resilience for people who might not have any problems?
Absolutely. So we can run these programs in different ways. So we could do a targeted work with targeted students or adults who really do need these. They're going through a time of emotional distress. Or we can run them like I call the universal approach. So that would be if I was running it as a whole group or going into a whole classroom. Now, there'd be some kids there who are naturally emotionally and socially resilient, and there'd be some kids there who aren't. But what we do know is that life is full of ups and downs, and we all need to know how to face those downs. I suppose when I'm explaining it to the children, I get them to imagine a basketball, and I said, if I have this basketball and I throw it at a wall, what will the basketball do? And they'll all tell me it bounces back. And then I'll say to them, if I puncture that basketball and let out my sear and it's flat, this time when I throw it at the wall, what will happen? And they'll tell me it'll just go flat, it'll just, you know, hit the floor. And so then I sort of explained to them, well, that's how we're like, when we're feeling resilient, when we come up against the wall, and the wall might be a problem or a challenge or something difficulty that we're facing in life, if we're resilient, it might knock us for a bit, but we're more likely to pick ourselves up and carry on. Maybe talk to the people, you know, our support team to get some help. But if we're not feeling resilient, we're like that basketball, that flat basketball, and when we come up against that challenge, we sort of, it just knocks us off our feet and we find it difficult to pick ourselves up. And those are the sorts of things, you know, that I see that we all need, because we all face ups and downs. And when I'm working with like 5-year-olds, I'll say to them, you know, have you noticed life's like a roller coaster? Sometimes it's happy and sometimes it, you know, how many of you have had ups and downs? And they all put their hands up.
5-year-olds?
5-year-olds. I know, you know, at my age, I'm going, wow, why don't you get to an adult? You've got all these other things. But, you know, in context with their lives, they've already noticed some ups and downs. And so, you know, we do need to have resilience. Resiliency, and it's a continuum. Life, we don't stop having ups and downs when we get older. In fact, you know, we know there's a high depression rate in our elderly as well, so we all need to be resilient for life.
And I think that sounds like everybody should learn about that.
I really believe so. Now, I'm passionate about that. Within the Friends programs, Dr. Paula Barrett has come up with 4 developmental programs, just meeting the challenges of each particular age. So we have what we call the fun friends, which is ideally for children between the ages of 4 to 7. And then we have friends for life, which is sort of 8 up to about 12, maybe 13. That one was also endorsed by World Health Organization back in 2004 as being, a good program for developing social emotional resilience. We have a teen program that goes up to the ages of around about 16 and 17. And then we have our adult resiliency program for, you know, 17 to 117.
117. And So the can you tell us a little bit more about the different programs? So you have, for the different age groups, you have different programs.
Yeah.
Just to give us some examples, I like the example with the ball, and that's an example that shows the necessity of having a kind of program. Can you tell a little bit about the programs?
Essentially, all the programs are a cognitive behavior theory program. And we also, we use current research, which talks about, I suppose, prevention for anxiety and depression, and current theory for developing resilience, so social, emotional competency cords, if you like, and they're all embedded in the program. Also embedded in the program is we use attachment. We know that attachment, when I'm talking about attachment, I mean maybe that loving, secure relationship a child has with his parents. And most children have that, but we do know there are lots of our kids in our community who don't have that right from the start. So we're talking about that continuous love relationship where, you know, even if the parent might be angry with the behaviour of the child still knows that mum and dad still love me. And we know that's one of the most important factors, or it is the most important factor of wellbeing. So all of these things are embedded in the program. Even for our fun friends, we do teach them the difference between thoughts, feelings and behaviours. So we might tap our head and say, you know, our thoughts are what we might be thinking, like what I might say to myself. So if I had a problem with if I'd waved at a friend and they hadn't waved back to me, if I had an unhelpful thought, it might be, I don't think they like me anymore. What have I done wrong? And then we talk about, if I'm thinking like that, what's the feeling? It's probably going to be a bit of sadness. For some kids, it might be anger. And then we talk, what might my actions be, my behaviour? And my actions might be to go home and cry and think I don't have any friends. And then we'll say, we'll get the kids to go back and say, okay, let's unpack our thoughts in a more helpful way. Same scenario, waved at my friend and they didn't wave back to me. But this time, if you had more helpful thoughts, it might be, I don't think my friend noticed me. I think they were busy playing with the others. Or, maybe my friend was on their phone and didn't see me. And so, you know, how are you feeling? Now, you may not be feeling happy about your friend not noticing you, but you're feeling okay as opposed to feeling sad and maybe rejected. And your behaviour's more likely to be, maybe I'll go up to that friend and say, hi, I don't think you saw me. Or we'll just carry on with our day, but we'll be feeling okay. So we teach that, as I said, And the programs are all the same programs, but we teach it in developmentally appropriate ways for each age group. And I suppose as we go through each age group, we add on a little bit more. So we spend a bit more time looking at step plans with our primary school age children and our teenagers. We talk about conflict and how that's also normal, but it's how do we manage it. And we'll talk about assertive styles, passive and aggressive, and again we'll continue with some more, unpack a wee bit more with our adults as well.
Like the passive one could be that you don't say anything and you just feel rejected, and then afterwards your behaviour towards the person at a different moment would change.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could be to aggression, because you feel like this person had hurt you.
Yeah, and sometimes it can be, we talk about, you know, the last straw on the camel's back might be one little thing, but it's been a build-up of lots of things. Within our school, sometimes you know, that those emotional feelings will either present sometimes as avoidance, kids refusing to do things, or, you know, not if it's going to school, maybe, you know, school refusal, you know, very clingy at mum and dad when they're dropping them off. But sometimes it also comes out as aggression, as our fight or flight. So sometimes in the schools, a child might have high anxiety, and, you know, I can remember one young boy was fine in the class, but when he was out playing rugby, if he got tackled, his instant reaction without thinking was to turn around and punch the other kid. And that actually came when we unpacked it and I did some assessments with him, high anxiety, because his brain reacted as if someone was trying to hurt him. And that's where it came from. But in the school context, before we unpacked that, all they were seeing was that he was being mean and bully on the playground, but it actually had a lot of other things going on. So it can present as that sometimes.
So sometimes you really have to unpack the certain cases. But at the moment with this program, Jenny Bell Oranga, you are teaching how to deal with it. So you are more the person who does the educational part, is that right?
Yes, so it's two main, distinct parts. parts of the business. One is training other professionals to run the programs in their centre, because that's going to make it sustainable, so that more and more kids and adults, teens can be reached. The other that we do is we have in Hamilton, we have our own private practice, so people come and see me in private practice, plus we have facilitators who go out to schools and run the programs in small groups or hold classes in the schools. And I'm pleased to say we now have a part-time facilitator here in Auckland who's going into schools as well and running them as needed. So lovely ladies. So that's how we do it. In some cases, especially maybe in private practice, when the parents bring the children to see us, I've got much more chance to do formal assessments and talk to the parents, and then maybe link them in if they need some other maybe mental health services if that particular child has shown that they have elevated to very high levels of anxiety. And we do get lots of those kids. Saying that, there are lots of kids who have the low to no anxiety, but they still benefit from knowing how to cope with life's ups and downs.
And who can participate in these training programs? Do you have to be a teacher or a psychologist?
No, you don't have to be. So I have trained lots of people. So some people... it might be a teacher aide in the school, so the school's utilising them. I know at a Wellington school, I trained some of their senior management to run the programs, and then they're finding with their workload, they couldn't be doing it. So they had me come down to Wellington and trained five of their parents who'd stepped up and said they wanted to run the programs in the school. So I went down and trained them so that they have the time to go in and run it in the schools. It can be anyone and everyone. So from, our psychologists, social workers, trained lots of social workers, teachers, principals, DPs, teacher aides, parents, other people, counsellors have trained in it, especially in the youth program as well, if they're working in high schools.
But then you have the age group up to 111.
Yes.
So you need some other people. Do you also work with
right.
Rest homes?
Yeah. So we've just this year started advertising and running training for professionals who want to run our programs with their client base, with their adult client base. Plus, as I said, we run this in private practice from our centre in Hamilton. Sometimes, we'll run them in small groups. Sometimes I'll run them just one-on-one, because sometimes an adult just doesn't want to talk about issues they're going through with other people. And it's the same sometimes with some adults who've been struggling with sort of anxiety and stress, and they tend, and it's like some of our teens, they tend to think maybe that's just them, and they're the only one who's suffering like this, and the sad fact is there are heaps and heaps of people, and statistically what we know is if we had 10 people who were suffering from elevated levels of anxiety or stress for that matter, typically it's only 2 out of that 10 people who actually manage to go and seek some help to get them through that. The other 8 out of 10 just try and manage the best that they can. And some people, their way of trying to cope, I suppose, with that emotional distress, it might be overeating, undereating, it could be drugs, alcohol, it could be gambling, it could be risky behaviour, things to try and just bring down that stress feeling, and they don't know any other way to do it. So then we can see how it can sometimes ripple through to other health areas and problems in our society, in our communities.
What are your experiences with the older generation? Are they receptive to these thoughts? Because they might have had the same behavior for like 50 years, and maybe it opens their mind, or maybe they just don't want to hear. What is your experience?
Most of the time when people come and see me, it's like, they've tried some things and they want to try and do something else. So they're still open to trying something. But you're right, it can often be ingrained. And some of the things, I suppose, to me, because I've been doing this for so long, making that connection between thoughts and feelings seems clear-cut to me. But to them, no one's told them about, noticing that. And, that if we have a thought, because a thought might be a worrying thought or a stressful thought, just because it's a thought means to say that we can change that thought into something more helpful. And no one's pointed that out to them, or no one's pointing them out how they can manage that stress and how to notice when it's getting above, I call the danger zone, when they need to do something to calm themselves down so that they can think clearly. Because it's when you get too stressed out or too angry, that's when we've got you know, cortisol rushing around our brain, and we can't think clearly, we can't make good choices, then we have to wait till we come down a certain amount till we can sort of make clear, good choices about how we're going to manage it.
And are you able to reach our multicultural society here in Auckland?
Yes, we are. We were very lucky. Like last term, we had two social workers who actually funded for us to go into three South Auckland schools, and I think all the kids there, I could say, absolutely multicultural. So we do. These programs also are run all around the world, so not just in New Zealand. We have them. I know we have licensees in Ireland, Germany, Brazil, Japan, lots of countries that I can think of, you know, UK.
It's a New Zealand program which is brought out in the world.
It's come out of Brisbane, Australia. So Dr. Paula Barrett behind it is based in Brisbane. It's probably one of the most well-researched cognitive behaviour theory programs, social-emotional resiliency programs that there are out there. As I said, the Friends for Life was endorsed by World Health Organization back in 2004. So it's got a wealth of, I suppose, evidence behind it. And I think the key thing is that it works. You know, I work much longer hours running Janibel or Runga than I used to when I was a resource teacher learning behavior. The payback for me is when I see that makes a difference, especially for those kids who might be on that elevated to high anxiety zone, and just seeing, because when they're like that, it doesn't just impact on them, but it's impacting on the families, of what the parents can, whether they can go out for the evening, or whether, you know, for some, if they do that, the child has a panic attack. Their thought might be, what if something happens to mum and dad and they never come back? And for them, that's a real thought, and the fear is real for them.
When you do the program, then afterwards they feel reassured. They are not so much afraid that their parents will not come back.
Because what we're doing is we're giving them strategies. So we start talking to them, you know, how helpful is that thought? Sometimes, and we'll say, how many times, you know, you've been worried, you know, every time mum and dad goes out, how many times have mum and dad not come back? So it's like challenging the validity of that thought. How helpful is it having that thought? But it's also giving them those strategies of understanding body clues. Because their body's going to, you know, the heart beating fast or the sweaty palms is going to tell them that they're beginning to get stressed out. And what we want to teach them is, well, we'll give them a rating out of 10, and I'll say 7's about as high as you want to go. If you're up to a 7, that's when you need to do some self-soothing, something to calm yourself down so you can think better choices, and you're more able to be able to come up with some more helpful choices. And, you know, that's going to keep you calmer, and you're going to feel okay, and you know, your behavior is, it's going to maybe be, you might be feeling a little bit worried about mum and dad going out, but you're okay, and you've got a strategy plan of, you know, when you can text or ring them, and not all the time, but maybe a couple of times. So that's part of what we do.
And you said that you were going to schools, but then you also teach for anybody who is interested in it. So you have some open events that people can participate in, conferences or workshops.
Yes. So we do. We run training workshops up and down New Zealand, mostly the North Island. We did earlier this year do Christchurch and Dunedin, so I'm hoping to open that up more. It's just the logistics of me trying to run private practice and go around the country training, but we are expanding. We're looking at taking on maybe we've got some part-time facilitators, but I'm looking at maybe next year taking on a full-time facilitator, which is going to release me to do more of that work, and maybe work one-on-one with people who are experiencing you know, more higher levels of emotional distress.
And part of the facilitation is done in our Mercy Spirituality Centre, right?
Yes, and in Auckland, yes, I found this wonderful place. So Mercy Spirituality Centre, and it is beautiful. It's very beautiful garden. It's very calming. So we tend to run our training events there. So that's where we run them, Auckland-based. And we're looking in the future about whether I maybe hire a room at some stage to see private clients there as well, and to be a work base for our part-time facilitator who goes into schools, who's based here in Auckland as well.
And your organization is called Jenny Bell Oranga. Is Oranga the Maori word for life, or is it
I sort of use it as well-being. So when I started this up, it's more about well-being. So we teach a range of things, like I said, the cognitive behaviour and the relaxation. Like out in the moment, that the in thing is mindfulness. That's a buzzy thing that's out there. Now, mindfulness is really good. We teach mindfulness as part of one of our relaxation strategies. But I suppose what I hear sometimes is some schools are just teaching mindfulness, and to me, that's a wee bit like putting a Band-Aid over a dam that's sort of bursting, about to crack, and you might be plugging that for a while, but what you also need to do is you need to teach strategies how to relieve that pressure that's building up behind the dam, and you also need to teach strategies on how to strengthen that dam. And that's where I see when you do it in a holistic way with cognitive behaviour theory, which encompasses attachment and encompasses those other strategies for relaxation and mindfulness, that's when it's most effective.
Thank you very much, Jenny. That was really interesting. It was good to hear more about Jenny Bell Oranga. I'm looking forward to seeing you again at our Mercy Spirituality Center with your workshops. And thank you for the work that you are doing, because I think it's always good to prevent
absolutely.
At the same time as healing, but working on the prevention.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And what is coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center? Well, after two successful sessions with Sister Alice Sinnott on wisdom, a female figure in the Bible, we are offering a day course with Sister Alice on this topic on Monday, the 18th of September, from 10:30 to 3 p.m. Sister Alice Sinnott will repeat her lecture on wisdom, a female figure in the Bible. On Saturday, the 23rd of September, from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., Joy Cowley is going to facilitate a retreat day with the title From Head to Heart. And from the 28th of September to the 9th of November, we will have 6 regular evening sessions based on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And please remember our regular events. We offer Christian meditation on Monday evenings at 7:30 and on Thursdays at 1 p.m. And we have Lectio Divina on Thursdays at 2 p.m. For these regular gatherings in our chapel, you can just turn up. But for all other events at our center, please register with us per phone at 094 Auckland 638-6238 or via our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. I wish you all a good Friday and a good week ahead. Thank you, Jenny.
Roots us in faith and lifts us in hope and holds us in God.